Gene, I want to tell you something. In the Navy, we don't say second lieutenant. We say ensign. Do you know what that is? You don't know that, huh? Navy, it's an ensign. If you call me a second lieutenant, people get very angry when you call them second lieutenants in the Navy. Okay, I'm not angry. I love you. He is from my church in Taipei, actually. So he's my little lamb, you know. And he was baptized at Truth Church in Taipei, and so I can't get mad at him. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are right here, right now. Lord, we can't see you, but we know that you are here because that's your promise. When we gather together in your name, that's your promise, that you will be right here, right now. And Lord, I just pray that you would kind of open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, so we can just see you a little more clearly today, that we can know you a little better. I pray that you would kind of just walk out of the Bible and let us see you in all your wonderful beauty and glory and love and kindness and goodness and power, and see what you are really like, what you really like. Help us to see how you think and how you do things, how you respond to situations. Help us to understand you a little better this morning. Thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read from Matthew chapter 14 this morning. And as I read this, I would like you to use your imagination. I would like you to use your imagination and just think, if you were there that night, if you were there that evening, if you were on the boat, and it was a boat, not a ship. You know, in the Navy, we make a very clear distinction between a boat and a ship. You know the difference between a boat and a ship, according to the Navy? A boat is any vessel that is small enough that you could put on a ship. That's the difference. Okay. They were in a boat. And as we read Matthew 14, I want you to use your imagination and think that you are right there. Okay? You are right there. On the boat with these disciples, you're there with them. You're there, Peter and James and John and you, okay? What would you see? What would you hear? What would you feel? What would you be thinking that night, in the middle of the night, if you were on this boat with them, okay? I will read this, starting with chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that's about maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water." And then Peter got down. Oh, Jesus said, "Come." "Okay, come." Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water. He came towards Jesus, walking on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Have you ever had that kind of experience when you were on a boat and you went out on the water and the weather was just very beautiful, very calm and peaceful, then all of a sudden the weather started to change? Have you had that experience ever? And the weather started to change, and then the waves started coming up, going up and down, and the boat started going up and down. I don't know. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever been on a ship, a big ship, when that happened? Yeah, she has been on that kind of a ship, yeah. First time I went to Taiwan. The first time I went to Taiwan, 56 years ago. Oh, can you believe that? Sometimes I can't believe that. I was in the Navy. I was a young reserve officer, just went into the Navy. I was an ensign. That is the lowest rank of officers. And I went to San Francisco. I reported to San Francisco, and then I got on a ship, big Navy ship. We were going to go to Taiwan, and I got on the ship, and we started to go out from San Francisco, from the port, and it was very nice, very peaceful, very calm. The ship was very stable. We had a nice supper. We had a good supper. I ate too much supper, I discovered later, because what happened later, evening came, we went to bed in the compartment. In the Navy, you don't say room, you say compartment. The compartment I was in, and there were three of us. There was another young reserve officer who had been in the Navy about 6 months longer than I was. And then there was an old officer who had been in the Navy 20-some years. The three of us in this compartment, okay? We went to bed. We got onto our bunks. We don't say beds in Navy. We say bunk, okay? We got on the bunk, and we were sleeping. And nobody had told me. When you go out of San Francisco, about several hours outside of San Francisco, there's a current that comes down from Seattle. A current in the ocean comes down from there. It's a very rough current. And as soon as the boat hit this current, man, everything changed. What happened was, and you know, I didn't know what was happening, but the water got rough, so the bow of the boat, that's the front, you know, bow, okay, the bow of the boat came out of the water, and then it came down and slammed into the water, like that, yeah. And then when the bow went into the water, then the stern, that's what we call the back of the boat, that came up out of the water, okay? Now, in the stern of the boat, there are two propellers. You know what a propeller is? That's what makes the boat go. When the propellers are going round and round and round in the water, underwater, it's just fine, no problem. When the propellers come out of the water into the air, they're spinning in the air, then the whole ship goes like that. And then the stern of the ship comes down, the propellers go into the water, then the bow of the ship comes up. Then the bow of the ship comes up, and it goes, bong, down into the water. And then the stern goes up, and the propellers in the air go, you know, I thought, what in the world is happening? The guy, the other ensign, he was just 6 months ahead of me in the Navy. As soon as we hit that, he jumped down from his bunk. He started to put on his pants. He said, "We hit something. We hit something. Maybe we hit an iceberg." You know, he was all, and you know, I didn't know what's going on. So I jumped down from my bunk. I put on my pants, you know, getting ready to go. The other guy, the third guy, who was an old 20-some years officer, he just lay there and he said, "That's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it." I thought, but you know, that, you can you imagine those feelings if you're on a ship and that everything just starts to go crazy? Things start falling off the wall. And you hit that huge slam, and then the ship starts shaking. You know, that ship, that's your world. That's your universe. You know, that is, if that ship goes down, you go down. You know, it's a very scary feeling. I don't know if you ever had that kind of experience. If you haven't, but you know, maybe you have had that kind of experience, not on a ship necessarily, but in some other situation where you felt really terrified. You young people, I'll tell you, if you have not had that kind of experience yet, someday you will, I promise you. Maybe not on a ship, but in some other situation, you're going to feel a sense of deep panic and fear. You're going to feel it. Okay, now, so as we read the Bible, it describes their experience. It's very interesting. The way they describe the experience when I read this, it buffeted by the waves because the wind was against them. That's the English. But when I read the Chinese description, I have to laugh. I really laugh because the Chinese description, and do any of you know Chinese? Okay. The Chinese description, it almost sounds kind of like an old Chinese poem. Four words. In the Chinese, it is yin feng bu sun bei lang yao han. Four words. It's kind of like an old poem. It's almost kind of like at New Year's. I don't know. Do you put these red strips on your doors at New Year's? In Taiwan, you know, at New Year's, everybody puts a strip, you know, gong he xin xi, wan shi ru yi. Four words, you know. Best wishes for the New Year's. May everything go the way you want it to go, you know. It reminds me of that kind of an old poem, except New Year's time, nobody puts red strips up that say, yin feng bu sun bei lang yao han. Nobody puts up that kind of red strips but if we were really honest, sometimes we would say that's really what our situation really is, you know, yeah. Okay, now, I said, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you feel, but everything is going wrong. The whole situation, oh, you just feel like everything is just 乱七八糟. Do you know what that means? At least those four words you know. Everything is just all messed up. And you're just feeling scared. You're terrified. You can imagine their feelings. They're afraid. They're panicked. They're filled with panic, terror. That's the way I felt that night on the ship when we hit the first. He said, maybe we hit an iceberg. I'm like, iceberg? Oh, you know. And I started to put my pants on. Okay. So now, maybe you have been in a situation like that sometime in your life. You just felt scared to death. And I promise you, you will someday if you haven't. Okay, now, in that kind of situation, what did the disciples need? What did they need to have? What did they need to do? Okay, don't tell me they needed to have the weather change, because that's something that they couldn't control. You can't control that. What did they need? They needed faith. Faith, didn't they? Okay, now, they needed faith. Now, as you think about their feelings, you know, their feelings, as I said, their feelings were all messed up. They were panicking. I said fear, panic, terror. Besides fear, panic, and terror, they probably had another feeling. Can you guess what other feeling they might have had? Fear, panic, terror. Besides that, they had another feeling, I think. I think they probably felt a little angry. Angry at who? At Jesus. Because they were in this mess because they had obeyed Jesus. Jesus said, get in the boat, go across to the other side. They obeyed, and I imagine they had a little feelings about Jesus. I don't know how to say that in English. They were a little upset with Jesus, you know, so a little angry. Because when you obey Jesus and do what he says, everything's supposed to be wonderful. Just peaceful and happy and everything just goes as one shi ru yi. It's supposed to be like you want it to be. And it didn't. So I think that all these feelings inside them was just very, very great deal of turmoil. So, okay, so what did they need? They needed to have faith. They needed to have faith that Jesus was who he said he was. And it was gonna be okay. Now, if you want faith, how do you get faith? If you need faith, could they get faith just by sort of telling each other, yeah, have faith, have faith, have faith? If I say to you, have faith, have faith, have faith, and you say to me, Wendell, have faith, have faith, have faith, would that do the job? No, it doesn't work that way, does it, huh? It doesn't work that way. If I said to myself, Wendell, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith, it doesn't do much good. Some things just don't work that way. Some things don't work that way. So it's not like you can just to decide to do something and use your willpower and make it happen. You know, have you ever had the experience you lie down at night on the bed and you say to yourself, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Does that work? Does it? You who are parents, okay. Have you ever, when your kids were 3 years old, if you had a three-year-old kid, have you ever put them down on the bed and said, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep? Does that work? The more you tell them to go to sleep, the more they stay awake. It doesn't work, you know. It's not like we can do that, you know. If I say have faith, you know, I'm not God. God can say, let there be light, and there was light. I can't say, let there be faith, and there was faith. It doesn't work that way. Okay. It's not something you can just decide to do. But what happened? What happened? Jesus came. When Jesus came, everything started to change. And why did things start to change when Jesus came? It was because of what he said. It was because he said, he spoke. He said something. Yeah. That's very interesting. In Romans chapter 10, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. Oh, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. So Jesus spoke, and things started to change. Things started to calm down, and they started to relax. And now, okay, now what did he say? When you look at the English, or even the Chinese, it doesn't really tell you what he says. He said, it is I, or in our sort of ungrammatical English, I would say, it's me. But as you learned in high school, that's not correct. You should say, it is I. But, you know, I would say, it is me. Don't be afraid. In the Chinese, it's the same thing. Suo. Okay, don't be afraid. But if you look at the Greek, it's very interesting. He did not say, it is I, or me. In the Greek, he used two words. And the first word was ego, which in English we say ego, it means I. The first word he said was ego, I. The second word he used was a me, which means am. He didn't really say, it's me. He said, I am. Don't be afraid. Oh. Does that give you a clue to what he was telling him? Huh? Do you have any recollection, any memory when the words I am, you came across those in the Old Testament? Moses said, what's your name? And what did God say? I am who I am. Right? I am I. Okay. If they have to have a name for them, tell them my name is I am. Oh. Tell them my name is I am. All the Jews knew that. All the Hebrew people knew that from the time of Moses on. So Jesus comes to them, and they're scared out of their wits, scared out of their skin. And they see Jesus, their first thought is that it's a ghost. And then he comes and he says, I am. Don't be afraid. That gives them a clue. It was giving them a clue about something. What? Gives them a clue that the person they were following, the Lord that they were trusting, the one that they believed in, was not just a Jewish carpenter. He was not just a wonderful teacher, a wonderful rabbi, a wonderful leader. That the Lord that they were following, whose disciples they were, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of the universe. He is Almighty God. Oh, I just love that. When Jesus comes and he said, I am. Don't be afraid. Okay, now. We can draw some preliminary conclusions here from that. We can draw some preliminary conclusions. And the first conclusion we can draw, the next time you need faith, when's the next time you're going to need faith? When are you going to need faith the next time? Probably this afternoon. At least tomorrow morning. You need faith every day, don't you? You need faith every day. The next time you feel like you need faith, don't waste time saying, have faith, have faith, have faith. The next time you feel like you need faith, go and hear the Word of God. Where are you going to find the Word of God? Where are you going to find the words of God? In this book. Go to the Bible. Okay, faith comes from hearing or reading, and reading comes from the Word of Christ. So the first thing you need to know, when you go to the Bible, you need faith, go to the Bible. Read the Bible, and the first thing you need to know about reading the Bible is the Bible. What are you going to do when you read the Bible? You're not going to try to do some theological research or philosophy of religion. Read the Bible is to meet God face to face. Okay, that's the first thing. You're going to meet God, and He's going to say, I am. I'm here. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm here right now, and I'm with you. The second thing you need to know about reading the Bible is that the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible is about Jesus, so in one way or another. So the God who says, I'm here, it's me, I am, who speaks to you in the Bible, that God, he has a face. He's not some mysterious gray-colored blur kind of hidden in the fog of somewhere, you know. The God who speaks to you in the Bible has a face, and it's the face of Jesus. You know him very well. You met him in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. You met him, you know him. He is the one who poured out his last drop of blood on the cross to say, I love you. That's how much I love you. That is the God you're going to meet in the Bible. And the third thing you need to know about reading the Bible is that every time you open the Bible, no matter where you open it to, from Genesis to Revelation, every time you open the Bible, the first thing he's going to say to you, remember, you're opening the Bible to meet God, not to do some research about religion, okay? You meet God, and the first thing he's going to say to you when you open the Bible is, don't be afraid. Have you ever noticed how many times that sentence appears in the Bible? Have you ever counted how many times those words appear in the Bible? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Remember when the angels came to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem? What's the first thing they said? Fear not. Don't be afraid. That don't be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I took my own concordance a while back, and I looked up how many times don't be afraid appears in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. It appears 80 sometimes. And that was just using a little concordance, a desk concordance. I think if you used a big analytical concordance that really goes, counts up everything in the Bible, you know, I'm not sure how many times. Somebody told me once, somebody said to me, Fumusha, it's 365 times in the Bible. I think that's great. 365 times. You could, once a day, you can use that. Once a day, a whole year long. Don't be afraid. Okay, that's what God's going to say to you. And then he's going to say some other things to you. Okay, but the first thing he's going to say, no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're worried about, you're scared about, you're terrified about, no matter what it is, you and I are going to face it together, and I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to take your hand. I'm going to lead you through, and you're going to have peace. The peace that passes all understanding. I'm the Lord. I am who I am. So trust me. Don't give up. Okay, now, let's go back to the story. The disciples are on the boat. They're scared out of their wits. The thing is going up and down. They think the boat is going to go down. Jesus comes. Everything starts to change. And the wave, the water starts to calm down. And the wind calms down. And we breathe a sigh of relief. And we think, it's okay. Jesus is here. It's going to be okay. We have peace. We don't worry. And then what happens? Then Peter gets all inspired. And he says, oh, if it's really you, I'd like to try an experiment. If it's really you, let me walk on the water too. You know, and Peter says that, and we think, Peter, don't be so stupid. Everything was okay. The wind calmed down. The water calmed down. The boat is at peace. Everything is stable. Now you're going to mess everything up again. Okay. Now, you know, we say, Peter, don't. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And maybe some of us would take Peter aside and say, Peter, your theology is all wrong. You know, have a little class in systematic theology. That I would do that probably because I'm a seminary teacher. I teach theology. Peter, your theology, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You know, your theology is wrong. But, you know, and it's very interesting. I would say, Peter, you don't have to walk on water. It's not a matter of having fun. You know, I think walking on water would be a lot of fun. You know, Jesus can walk on water. I walk on water. That would be a lot of fun. You don't have to walk on water. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do anybody else any good, you know. It's very interesting. When Jesus said, I'd like to walk on water too, Jesus does not scold him. Jesus does not rebuke him. Jesus does not say, Peter, your theology is all wrong. Jesus does not do that. Jesus does not say, hey, Peter, don't be so stupid. Jesus doesn't say any of those things, does he? What does he say? What did he say? He said, okay, come on. Okay, come on. And then, you know, we, you and I on the boat, again, we feel very surprised because Peter's up there. He's walking on the water. He can do it. And we, you know, that's impossible. And we think, oh, but then, you know, it's going to be okay. So again, we let out our breath. We breathe a sigh of relief. It's okay. He's walking on the water. Okay, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And then what happens? Then he starts to go down. You know, we see Peter going down, and we say, oh, no, Peter, I knew it wouldn't work. I knew you couldn't do that. You couldn't walk on the water. Why did you have to be so stupid? And he's about to sink down. He's going to drown, you know. So when we read this story, it's like we're on a roller coaster, isn't it? We're kind of like we're on a roller coaster. We get up high, then we go down. All of a sudden, we get high again, then we go down. Okay, now, why did Peter sink down into the water? Why did he not succeed? Why did he not succeed? Okay, well, you think it was because his theology was all wrong? You know, his theology was wrong. His theology was all wrong. There's no doubt about that. But it wasn't because of his theology. If you notice what it says, he looked at the wind. He looked at the wind. Now the wind, you can't see the wind, but he looked at what the wind was doing. He looked at the waves and the water and the churning of the wind. He looked at the boat. He didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. He looked around at what was going on all around him. He looked at that and he started to go under. And so we see Peter starting to go down, starting to sink. And so we say, oh, Peter, we start to worry. We get scared. We're feeling terrifying. Peter's going down. We kind of shake our heads. We feel kind of sad, kind of disappointed. Peter's going to fail. Peter's going to drown, you know, and we start to feel so bad. It's very interesting. Peter says, Lord, save me. That's all he says. Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? You know, does Jesus say, well, it's too bad, Peter, your theology's all wrong. You know, I'm sorry, you don't have enough faith. I guess you don't have enough faith. I guess you're just going to have to sink down and drown. That's really too bad. Bye-bye, bye-bye. You know, does Jesus do that? What does Jesus do? He says, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls him up, just like that. You know, no scolding, no criticizing, no condemning, no rebuking. Even that, you of little faith. When we hear it in English, it sounds kind of like he's scolding him. But that in Greek, he's not scolding. That's just kind of like a little nickname. You know what a nickname is? Do any of you have nicknames? In Taiwan, we say, you know, Xiao Bai, Xiao Hei. You know, my grandson, his name is Song Yi Jing, and we used to call him Jing Jing, Jing Jing, you know. Or I remember my youngest daughter, we used to call her Little Sunshine. Sunshine, hey Sunshine. This, oh, you of little faith, is really more like a kind of a nickname. You know, it's like Xiao Bai, Xiao Hei, Xiao Sins, you know. Little faith, hey little faith, hey little faith. That's all it is. It's not a rebuke. It's just, hey, why did you doubt? Shahides, you know, have you ever heard of Shahides? Yeah. Why did you doubt? I'm here. You don't have to worry. So it's very interesting. When I saw Jesus do this, when I see this in the Bible, it just brings back some memories. When my three kids were little and they were learning to swim, we would go to a swimming pool and they were learning to swim and they used to love to play a game with me. They would play a game. They would stand outside of the swimming pool. I would stand in the water. And they would stand on the top of the wall. And they would jump into my hands. And every time they jumped on, I would catch them. one by one, I'd catch them, and then they would go over to the run up and get on the wall again and jump down into my hands. And they would, sometimes they did it so fast. I was faster than I could really pay attention. They would jump down, and they would ha 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 ha, and then they'd go up and climb on the edge of the swimmer, and they'd jump down again. I would catch them. But I wasn't always quite, my reaction was not always that fast. I remember one time, I was standing in the water, my eldest daughter, she jumped down into my hands, and she laughed, and she ran around, and she was going, I kind of turned aside, I was talking to a friend of mine standing in the water, and she didn't notice that I was talking to a friend, and she got up and she jumped down into the water. I still remember that, and she went down under the water, and then I saw that little head come up out of the water. As soon as the head came up out of the water, she said, Daddy! Daddy! Oh, you know what I did? I just turned around and I grabbed her like that. You know, if that's what Jesus is like. That's what Jesus is like. You call upon his name, okay? He call upon his name and he answers. You know, because sometimes you really need to know this. You really need to remember this. That's what Jesus is like, because sometimes you're going to feel that the things that happen to you in your life, the things that happen in your life, they make sometimes, you know, Matthew in chapter 12, chapter 14, this story is in chapter 14, but in chapter 12, Matthew describes Jesus this way. He said, a bruised reed he will not break. Do you know what a reed looks like? Oh, a reed is just a little twig or something. A bruised reed he will not break. Yeah. What is it in like a 姜残, the 灯火, a smoldering lamp, wick, he will not blow out. A smoldering wick, he will not blow out. That's the way, that's probably Matthew's own experience, you know. He's not going to break. You. He's going to be very, very careful with you. No matter how weak you feel you are, he's going to be there and he's going to bring you out of it. You need to know that, because sometimes you feel discouraged. You feel like things are not going right. Things are not going the way you think they should be going. You know that God has said, have you heard Jeremiah? Chapter 29, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You remember that? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you peace and not zaiho. I don't know what that is in English. Not to give you disaster, to give you a beautiful future and a hope. He said, I will bless you. You know, God has said that to you. He said that. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a beautiful future. I'm going to give you peace. But sometimes you think it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that. Everything's going wrong. Everything is run, chi ba zao. Everything is just not the way you want it to be. And you look at the world. You look at the world, what's happening in Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq. And then you open the paper and the terrorists, they showed up someplace, you know, every morning it's a different place. You think, when are they going to show up in Raleigh, North Carolina? You don't know. And you think about, you know, what's happening in your life. You think, you know, the economy is just tanking and it's not changing. Some of you who are not kids, some of you are a little older, you think, what's going to happen to my retirement? Is it going to be there when I need it? Or will it be gone? And you think, maybe what am I going to do? Am I going to be laid off? Am I going to lose my job? And some of you are parents. You think, are my kids going to get into a good college? Are your kids going to get into a good college? If they get into a good college, are they going to be able to graduate? If they graduate, will they be able to find a good job? You know, there's so many things that you can worry about. You can just worry, and then when you're feeling, sometimes you just feel like, oh man, you feel like the ground you're standing on doesn't feel like ground, it feels like water. You know what I mean? It feels like water, and you're gonna fall down. At that time, you're thinking it's not gonna be okay. It's maybe, you know, it's not gonna be okay. Maybe it's because all the good theology that you learned in Sunday school, you forgot it. Okay, maybe you never learned it. Maybe it's because your attention is focused on what's going on around you, and everything just looks terrible, and you're not keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. Maybe it's because you're just stupid. You've made some stupid decisions, and you feel like it's too late. You can't be changed. Anybody here ever make a stupid decision? I have. Okay. You see, it's too late. I made some stupid decision and it's not going to change. And it's just all messed up. You feel like the ground you're standing on is just water. And it's not peaceful water. At that time, you know what? All you have to do is say, Lord, save me. In fact, you don't even have to say those three words. You can say one word. That's all. That's good. And you just say, Lord. Just like my kids say, Daddy. Daddy. You say that, and he's going to turn around. He's going to grab your hand, and he's going to pull you up. And you're going to be up there. You're going to be following him. You're going to be learning to be his disciple. You know, there's also a phrase in the Bible. I don't know how many times it appears. Old Testament, New Testament, over and over and over again. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Remember that? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to say is, Lord. Like my kids said, Daddy. And whoever calls. I have not calculated how many times that appears in the Bible, but it's many, many, many times. Okay, so if you say, Lord. You don't even say, Lord, save me. You just say, Lord. He's not going to shake his head and say, sorry, you don't have enough faith. You're going to go down. You're going to drown, you know. He's going to reach out and pull you up. And you're going to be following him. You're going to be learning to be his disciple, and you're going to be up there. Now, Jesus does not guarantee that there will be no wind, no waves, no storms, no bad weather. He doesn't guarantee that will happen. He doesn't guarantee that your life will be, I don't know how to say this in English, 万事如你的意思, everything is going to be just what you want it to be. He doesn't guarantee that, but he does guarantee that everything will work together for good for you. That's his promise. He will make all things work together for good for you, and that's his guarantee. No matter what you experience, what you meet in life, and you're going to, because of that, you can trust him, and you can believe in him, and you can have peace. No matter what the storm is like, you can have peace, and you can even have joy. And you'll be following him. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, says something, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he can keep what I've entrusted to him unto that day. I know who I have believed, and he's going to keep everything. And what have you entrusted to Jesus? You've entrusted yourself to him. And he's going to keep me. He's going to keep me in perfect peace and perfect well-being. You know, so no matter what you run into this afternoon or tomorrow morning or any time in the future in your life, and you feel like you're going down, you're going under, you're sinking down, you feel like the ground you're standing on is not ground, it's just like water, and when you feel like that, don't be deceived. He's going to hold your hand and put you. You are blessed. You are blessed. And it's not because you have a wonderful, great, big, strong faith. Okay? Listen to this. You are blessed not because you have a wonderful, great, big, strong faith. You are blessed because the one you have faith in is a wonderful, great, big, strong Lord and Savior. He is the one who's wonderful. Your faith. You are a person of little faith. You're a man of little faith. That's what you are. But he is strong. And all you have to say is, Lord, and he'll be there. That's the good news that God wants to give you this morning. I hope you will take it, put it in your heart, take it and use this good news, this message to whatever you face tomorrow or in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. Just remember, the Lord you believe in, he's wonderful and big and strong. And you can say, you are a person of little faith, and that's okay. He's still going to be there. Okay, well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. You demonstrated so many times in so many different ways when you were walking and living on this earth in a human body. You demonstrate it so clearly in so many different ways what you are like. Lord, I just thank you that you are so strong and so powerful and so loving, so merciful, so gracious, so good to us, to me, that I could just admit I am a man of little faith, and all my brothers, people of little faith, but Lord, you are just so big and huge and powerful and loving, and you are faithful. You are faithful. You keep your promises and you never fail. Lord, I can fail so many times day after day, but you never fail. And whenever I turn to you and say, Lord, you're right there pulling me up. I just pray that each one of these brothers and sisters today will believe that experience, that you are that. That's what you're like. That's the way you think. That's the way you feel. That's the way you do things. That's the way you respond to situations. That's really true. That's what you're like. And we can just rest in you and know that it's going to be okay. Lord, thank you for all of that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Let's stand for the response.